Are you ready to let go of your fears and limiting beliefs? Ready to live in the moment? Ready to live a positive life by creating new habits? You're in the right place. Join us every week at the Reinvent Yourself to Greatness with Sahar show to learn how to create the happy life you always wanted and deserve now.
Hello, hello, hello. This is your host, Sahar Andrade. And how are you reinventors today? How are you, my tribe? I have a great treat for you today. I have Sophie Baron, that is, I call the queen of Clubhouse. Okay, that's where I met her actually in one of the rooms. She is a Gen Z and she has been doing so much to make this world better. But I don't want to take away from her to introduce herself. So I want to introduce all of you to Sophie Baron. Sophie, can you please tell us who you are?
Yes, Sahar, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here, and I'm so happy that we connected through Clubhouse. I am a unifier. I was put on this earth to bring people together to have conversations that matter. And I do this through my platform, The Conversationalist. We are a global Gen Z community dedicated to breaking open echo chambers, uplifting the voices of Generation Z, and unifying the world. So that's a little bit about me, and just grateful to be here and talk to you.
I'm so excited, and it's like music to my ears. You know that we are in March. We are basically in Women History Month. And that's why we are like hearing you, like you're trying to elevate Gen Z. So one of the United Nations themes for this year is women leaders, as well as generation equity, where they are looking to elevate young leaders, you know, like yourself, you know, to take their place into the women community. What can you share about Gen Z and how they are here to reinvent the world?
What a great question. I could talk about Gen Z for hours on end. And I think we stand out as a generation for so many different factors, and I'll name a few. So first of all, as you know, Generation Z, we are digital natives. We have never known a time without technology. And so we are so immersed in the online world, and technology has really helped shape our lived experiences. So that, I think, is so unique about our generation. And additionally, it's been recently known that Gen Z is the most diverse generation to date, which I think is fantastic, because it showcases how our generation values diversity, equity, and inclusion in ways that other generations haven't previously thought about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I think additionally, with this desire to make the world a better place, with being the most diverse generation, we've also been coined as the activist generation. Yes. So not only do we value diversity, we act upon it, and we want to go out into the world to make the world a better place. And we use our voices for the greater social good. So for all of these factors, I'm a very proud member of this generation. And I think additionally, it comes with unique challenges along the way, which I'm sure we'll dive into, but because we're so interconnected and using our voices and imbuing ourselves and our lives with social media, we're also known as the most isolated generation, struggling with mental health issues. And, you know, the list goes on and on. So with every strength comes its challenge, but I have no doubt that Gen Z will lead the way to really advancing social impact.
Absolutely. And yes, they found out that 11% of Gen Z actually suffer from ADHD. And the beauty of the diversity that you shared is that it's well known that Gen Z will notice diversity only when it's lacking in a room. This is the beauty. It's just like you said, it's part of their DNA and part of who they are. So, Sophie, before we go further, how can people get hold of you?
So, I'm a big social media user myself. So if anyone wants to talk or chat, you can find me on Instagram at Sophie Baron or at The Conversationalist, or check out our website, theconversationalist.com.
So people, you really need to follow her. Okay. I'm telling you that. I have been like fascinated the very first time we started a conversation in a room on Clubhouse. And I was just telling her that it looks like I'm stalking her. It's like, whenever she goes into a room, I know that there is value in that room. Like, and I always go and I try to have a voice in that room. Sometimes, like yesterday or the day before yesterday, we were talking about your why, right? In the room, you brought so many people. And what I love is that I went into rooms where the moderators kind of hug the room and they don't let anybody speak. You know, only the four or five moderators that are on the stage. But what you do, you keep getting people to the stage to talk. And for those that don't know what Clubhouse is or what a stage is, it's basically when you are invited from being an audience to be on stage to speak or to have a voice in the subject that we are talking about. So we were talking about our why. And I want you to share with my tribe and my reinventors, what is your why?
Sahar, I loved hearing yours the other day, and I love every room we're in on Clubhouse together. So let's keep stalking each other. And for me, my why goes back to my upbringing. So I'm from Wichita, Kansas, just like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. And from such a young age, I knew that I was different. And all I wanted when I was a young kid was to fit in and do what everyone else was doing. But no matter how hard I tried, I was labeled as the other because I was the only Jewish student in my entire grade growing up in K-12 education and largely my community. And so all along, I was navigating the world a bit differently because there was a lack of understanding with my peers and those around me when it came to my beliefs. And so that largely led me to feel like I didn't have a voice. I felt a lot of shame around my identity. And because of that, I didn't know how to speak up about the issues and the topics that mattered to me or to take a stance and make a difference. And so because of that feeling growing up, I know firsthand what it feels like to feel like my voice doesn't matter. But I had such a big insight when I went to college the University of Pennsylvania and realized that it was just my own inner critic and I had a voice all along. And so that is my why. I am going out into the world to make sure that no other young person has to feel the way that I felt growing up, because every single young person and every single person for that matter has a voice, and a voice that is powerful beyond measure. So That's a bit about my background and why I do what I do and why I'm on a mission to amplify 1 million Gen Z voices.
That's awesome. Like they say, out of every breakdown, there is a breakthrough, right? And out of every crisis, there is a call. I just like when I heard that, it was like, oh my God, I can't remember who said that. I think it was Brendon Burchard or something. He goes like, out of every crisis, there is a call. And I love that. And I love that you're using the adversity that you went through, you know, the obstacles that could have stopped anyone in their tracks. And you actually use it for the good of the world, you know, to reinvent the relationships between people. So how is Sophie reinventing the conversations?
Thank you so much for that question, Sahar. I completely agree, by the way, that we as human beings are so powerful when we can turn our messes into our message. And so I know that you're doing that as well. And so I'm just super grateful to be on this journey. But for me, I think the biggest insight at the core of what we do at The Conversationalist is reinventing the nature of conversation. And so within our Gen Z community, where we talk 24/7 about the biggest issues impacting Gen Z, from mental health, like we spoke about, to racism, to politics, to environment and sustainability, and the list goes on and on, we have been able to reinvent the way in which we address those conversations. So when you enter our community, you essentially agree to the terms of what it means to be a conversationalist. And there are a few key factors that have allowed us to reinvent this nature of conversation. First and foremost, we all agree that in every conversation we enter, we are going to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. We might be surrounded by people who have different views than we hold, and that is okay because we can agree to disagree. So that's always number one. Number two is speaking from our own lived experiences. I think oftentimes, and I've felt this on Clubhouse as well, it's okay not to be an expert about every single topic. And there are things that we do not know. So when we don't know them, we don't need to pretend that we do. And so we have to make sure that we're using I statements and speaking from our own experiences first and foremost. And then lastly, The third ingredient that I think is so fundamental to our community is the importance of having conversations to learn, to grow, and to understand, not to win. And I think this is where oftentimes we get it wrong. And I'm sure you're so familiar with this, Sahar, but sometimes when people are having conversations, especially surrounding heated topics, we have this feeling inside of us that we want to bring that person who we're speaking with over to our side. We want to change their mind, and we're having a conversation to assert our moral superiority over another person. But it's so important when you're entering any conversation to have that intention of learning and seeking to understand, not to change someone's mind. And I think that balances expectations, it equals the playing field, and it opens up our minds to the possibilities of another person. So I think between those three key ingredients, we're reinventing the ways in which we can communicate with one another and see through our differences to better find common ground.
You're such an old soul, Sophie, and I'm in awe to what you're saying. I really am. So again, it's Sophie Barron, B as in boy, E-R-E-N. And as you noticed, she said her website is theconversationalist.com, where older generations like myself will say www.theconversationalist.com, right? So here I'm giving up my age. I'm an Xer, by the way. So I'm the sandwich generation in between. Sophie, I do a lot of generational training in different organizations, especially government. And what I keep hearing is, I actually just did one last week, and I keep hearing the young people, right? Like, and the young people, exactly, like millennials, and millennials are already 42 years old, you know? So they're not really the young people anymore by what we call like guidelines of what is young, right? So, and I always say, you need to differentiate between millennials and Gen Z, because they're actually two different generations. And why do we do that? So we can attract the right candidates from the right generations. We can recruit them and retain them. So what do you see in your experience, the difference between millennials and Z?
Great question.
I know it's a loaded question, but...
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I'm not an expert with the millennial generation. However, I'm very lucky in that I'm actually a zillennial. So I was born 2 weeks before the traditional Gen Z cutoff. So I straddle both sides of Generation Z and millennials. And I think as a bridge or as a sandwich, like you said about being a Gen Xer, I have a unique perspective. And so I think for Generation Z, we tapped into a lot of what makes Gen Z unique. And I think with millennials, I guess when it comes to technology, millennials knew a time without technology. Yes. And so I think we are able to separate our online selves from our IRL selves, if you will. Which I think gives millennials a unique perspective on the world. And millennials have also invented so many new technological advances, or I guess societal advances, whether it be the gig economy and setting the precedent that we don't have to have one career for the rest of our lives. I think millennials have really set that standard for Gen Z to follow. And additionally, I think millennials are... They get cast under the misnomer of being lazy or unmotivated, but I'd actually like to argue that that's not true. I think millennials are go-getters and are out there shaping the world around us. And there have been so many millennial entrepreneurs, and I've been following in their footsteps. But I think that's my vantage point. But Sahar, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts.
Well, actually, I always thought for millennials and advocate for millennials. Like you said, the entitled thing and the lazy, and they're not loyal and they don't want to pay their dues. And all these are actually myth, because entitlement is not something that we are born with. It's something that we're taught. So imagine who taught them, if they were really entitled, who taught them that? So we cannot really blame them for that. Right. And being entitled is because I remember growing up, if we would go into a competition, we would have first, second, and third place. Millennials, 12, they still get a ribbon of recognition. Right. And then one of the things that they say, oh, they're not loyal, or they don't want to pay their dues, versus the Z, they actually feel like they want to pay their dues. They don't have a problem with that. But millennials spend so much money on their education. And as parents, as community, as society, we told them, spend the money, get good education, and you're going to get good jobs, and you're going to get good pay. They graduate, and we're having the recession, where everybody was telling you, take your money out of the bank and put it under your mattress. So we have let them down. Unemployment rate was at its highest. So for now, they feel they are drowning in student loans, right? So if I come to your work and you are my manager or my director, if you don't act as my coach to broaden my skills, to bring me up to speed so I can get promoted, I will leave and go somewhere else where I can get that. So it has nothing to do about loyalty. It has to do with the need of development and the need to put me let me have a voice on the table. Don't look at me. You are the young person. You don't know. Millennials are one of the highest educated generations in the United States. They paid their dues. You know, yes, they can learn how to speak better to leadership. Yes, they can learn that, for example, casual, and here I'm like being funny, I'm not trying to stereotype, that casual Friday is not flip-flops, you know? But this is how I always looked at millennials. They have so much to add. And that's why I always believed in mentoring and reverse mentoring. Like, let the young people mentor the older people. You know, on technology, on online research, on online filing, on how we think the new way versus the older generation that will teach millennials what they lack, like analytical thinking, you know, like maybe the ropes of how to work, you know, and sharing that knowledge. So that's how I think about millennials. But I don't want to hug the conversation because I want to hear you. So if I'm an organization, and I want to attract you as a Gen Z, what do you think I should do?
That's a great question. We could have a whole separate conversation about marketing to Gen Z. But for me, it's a two-step framework. If you want to get Gen Zers involved in your organization, first and foremost, you need to make sure that you are transparent with your Gen Zers, whether you're building a company, a platform, a nonprofit, a movement. Gen Zers want the authentic and the real, and they want to connect with the person behind the platform. And so the more that brands and businesses can be transparent with their audience, letting them know why decisions are being made, being upfront about decisions, you'll be able to attract Gen Zers because they will start to feel loyal and included within that conversation. And secondly, we talked a lot about Gen Z's passion for social justice.
Yes.
And because of this, Gen Z looks for mission-driven companies to invest their time and their dollars in. And so I think if you are an organization, I would make sure that you have a very strong, palpable social cause that drives why you do what you do, and be very, again, transparent and upfront about that social impact that you're making. Because that is what young people want. They want to be advancing social impact. They want to make the world a better place. They want organizations and brands to be sustainable. They want to be able to connect when it comes to the social focus of a brand. So that would be my advice. Be as transparent as possible and make sure that you're driving a real tangible impact through your organization so that young people will want to be a part of what you're building.
And Sophie, is it true that if, for example, a CEO of a company or a director of a company or a department, if they can put all that in a video on the website of that company, that can help you as a Gen Z connect better with them?
Yes, I think video is probably the most compelling medium for content. But I would take it a step further. I would say it needs to be more than a piece of content. You know, if you're running an organization, if you're the face of the company, or if your team is running the behind the scenes, enter into conversations with your consumer. really connect with them, whether it be on social media, through focus groups, and get to know your audience, because people can see through a video and people want more. They want to be able to connect. So yes to video, it's the most compelling medium. But if you're really looking to draw in a Gen Z audience, take it a step further and really involve them in the conversation.
Awesome. Thank you. I think I'm going to write a full article and quote you about that, you know, just like, Sophie, Right. I will soon. Sophie, I want to ask you, what are the obstacles or challenges that you as Sophie, you are encountering and as a Gen Z? So it's a two-part question. Like, what are the challenges that you're meeting as Sophie being the X generation? The Z generation.
Yeah. So again, my entire work and my life's mission at The Conversationalist is to give others a voice. But what I still struggle with personally is finding a voice myself. You know, I spend all day long telling other young people to speak up and stand up for what they believe in, but I'm still formulating a lot of my own beliefs and opinions. And so I think a challenge that I've encountered has really been feeling comfortable and confident to share my voice on the issues that matter to me. And I think this points to a larger issue that our generation is facing when it comes to this culture of canceling. We have gotten into this rather toxic space nowadays where most people feel afraid to share their true thoughts and opinions for fear of being canceled or berated or removed from society. And so I think as our generation evolves, I think we're getting there and we're the right generation to tackle this issue. I think we need to do a better job of including more voices and perspectives at the table. I think we need to, again, get more comfortable with the uncomfortable and acknowledge that there are worldviews outside of our own. So I think it's a unique challenge facing our generation, especially as a lot of cancel culture is conducted online and big mass movements on social media. But I think as we need to unleash our voices with the world, we have to be able to do so in a safe and comfortable way. And right now, a lot of us feel like we're walking on eggshells and we can't share our beliefs and opinions, whether it's our political beliefs or just beliefs that we have about regular everyday phenomena. And so I think it's a unique challenge that we'll continue to face along the way. But at the same time, because of our desire for intergenerational dialogue, intercultural dialogue, we'll get there, but it's going to take some time.
Absolutely. And by the way, till today, I keep changing, you know, my opinions. Like, even for a while, I was like intolerant of people that had a different political view recently, right? And then I said, like, I was doing a training one day and I was talking about stereotypes and individuation and stereotype replacement. And then it hit me. It's like, how can you share that with others when you're not applying it yourself? And at that moment, it was pivotal. And I started reaching out to friends that were on the other spectrum of where they were. And we started conversations. And you know what? We survived. Even we are like, we're friends. So the base was respect. And the base was love. The base was like, you have been my friend for years, and what made you the devil all of a sudden now that we have different opinions? And the base was that inclusion means that I need to accept your different opinion. So it was an eye-opener for me. So, you know, thank you for sharing everything that you believe in and being the light that you are. Usually at the end of the podcast, I ask my guests to, and first of all, I want to promise that you're going to come back because we have a lot more to discuss. You agree?
Sahar, I lost you. Lost you for a moment. I missed the last sentence.
I said, I want, first of all, before we kind of wrap the podcast, I want to promise from you that you're going to come back.
I would love to. Okay. I would be honored.
Awesome. So I usually ask my guests, is to share like some pearls of wisdom at the end of the podcast that you can share. That you can share. See, that's technology. Alexa, stop. That's technology, right? I want you to share some pearls of wisdom with the listeners.
I would love to. And again, I am only an expert in my own experiences, but for anyone who is listening to this conversation, I think it's powerful to recognize that we do have control over the ways in which we can break open our echo chambers. My favorite quote that I wear every single day on a ring on my finger says, "The moment when you realize that the rest of the world doesn't think like you, that's when you grow." Absolutely. And I think right now we've talked about social media, we've talked about the communities we exist in real life. And there are ways in which we can break open those bubbles, just like you did, Sahar, with your friend and having a conversation surrounding different political beliefs, whether it's following new accounts on Instagram that reflect a different worldview than you, or joining a new community, or hopping into a clubhouse room with people who have different perspectives. Let's start taking those everyday motions to break open those echo chambers, because once we can see the world beyond our own worldview, that's when we grow. So that's what I would say leaving today's conversation.
Oh my God, Sophie, you are a light in this world, let me tell you. So my tribe that I call Reinventors, you know, I'm sure that are delighted to listen to you today. And again, Sophie Baron, B as in boy, E-R-E-N, and it's www.theconversationalist.com. Sophie, I cannot thank you enough for being here today. I mean, you are one of my like favorite podcasts that I have done so far. So the light that you bring to this world, please keep shining and keep being the voice, not only for Gen Z, but for everyone.
Sahar, thank you so much for having me and for the light that you bring to this world, the amazing work that you're doing in the diversity, equity, and inclusion space. I loved this conversation. I can't wait to connect with some of your reinventors and excited to come back.
Absolutely. My reinventors, this is time, unfortunately, to say goodbye. And as I always say, we all have a genius inside of us. We need to let it out. We all have a light inside of us that we can bring forward to the world, not only to light up our path, but to light up the path for everyone that comes with us, before us, and after us. Till I meet you again, this is your host, Sahar Andrade. Reinvent yourself to greatness. I'm out for now.
Thanks for listening to Reinvent Yourself to Greatness with Sahar Andrade. Tune in next week for even more inspiration and tools to create the happy life you've always wanted. Go to www.reinventyourselftogreatness.com or send us an email at info@reinventyourselftogreatness.com. See you next time.